Ben Garrett of Ole Miss Spirit, one of our good friends, joins the show. Ben, who's going to be drinking more Modelos on Saturday night? Florida fans or Ole Miss fans? What's your prediction? What do you got?
Wow, you're just like right out of the gates with it, huh? Like not even like a little feeling out process.
No.
Into the prediction wolves here.
He comes in hot, Ben.
Ben, yeah. It's been a rough couple of months here. We just cut right to the chase, man.
Hey, I think Ole Miss is winning this weekend. I don't think, you know, anyone would kind of argue differently. I think the line's pretty, is way too big. I think it's going to be a competitive football game for myriad reasons, but if you're Ole Miss, man, you're barreling towards the college football playoff, your first ever college football playoff berth, playing good football, defense really coming around, especially after that Georgia disaster. And now they're top 30 in a handful of categories, and they're getting sacks, and they're actually making plays on the ball. So there's a lot to like about this Ole Miss team as it heads toward the college football playoff. And while I think Florida, I love Jaden Ball. I think DJ Lagway, I'm still a believer in DJ Lagway. I just think it's been an absolute disaster class, like the worst kind of scenario for him to be successful. But, you know, I think that this is a team, and they showed last year, man, like that's what Lane Kiffin said this week, man. Like, what Ole Miss remembers is the DJ Lagway that was seemed like the favorite to be the next great guy, next great quarterback in college football with what he did against Ole Miss last year. And, you know, that's what Ole Miss thinks about. They don't think about the guy that got benched against Kentucky. They don't think about the guy that struggled or the Florida team that's only got three wins to their first nine. They know what this team has as far as talent and how much of a challenge and beat is going to be, and how beating them last year derailed their college football playoff chances. So, I think Ole Miss is prepared for it. And if you made me put a guess on it, I think Ole Miss is going to win. It's going to be tighter than it needs to be for a few quarters. But I think Ole Miss ultimately wins by a couple scores. I want to say like 38-24 or something like that. But, yeah, 15.5 seems a little rich for me.
Well, I'm going to agree with that, Ben. I actually got a bolt on this show to make it to Ty Golden. But I wanted to make sure that I got these questions into you.
All right.
I'm gonna agree with your pick. I'm gonna pick Ole Miss as well, so the folks listening to the show can get my prediction. But I gotta ask you this, and for all of our listeners out there that are making our way to Oxford, where the heck do we need to go to eat?
Oh man, I mean, like I thought you were going straight to the Lane stuff. man, if it were me, and I've been doing it for most all my life, Proud Larry's has always been one of my favorite places in the world to go eat. It's right there off the square. Get you a Philly cheesesteak, get you a calzone if you want to. It's an Oxford staple. It's just the best. Ajax is obviously another staple that everybody kind of would encourage you to try, or maybe Blu-ray, something like that. But as far as drinking, go to Funky's, man, because Funky's is my bar, dude. I love Funky's in town. It feels like a New Orleans bar. It's got a great vibe. Lee and them will take care of you. Like the library gets all, you know, everybody wants to get into the library with those like crazy covers, especially for big weekends like this weekend. But man, I tell them all the time, Funky's is a place to go. It's an In-N-Out bar. It's got great peoples, and it just feels like Ole Miss. So those would be some of the suggestions. But here's the thing. In Oxford, Mississippi, you turn left, you turn right, you're going to find you something good to eat, something good to drink. All right. The key is just to get your ass down here. Check it out. Come visit Oxford, Mississippi, and you'll understand why this place is special and why it's become home to so many people that otherwise people would have thought maybe they weren't supposed to be making their home here. You know what I mean?
I'm staying an extra day so I can check it out. So,
Zach, you forgot to ask him where the best place for hot yoga is.
Oh, gosh. Keith, look at me. Do I look like a hot yoga person?
What do you mean, look at you? Look at us. Do we look like hot yoga people?
Lane's got the whole hot yoga deal going. You know, Burn Studio down there on the square, I think, is where he goes to. I don't know. But, like, I'm not in the trees, like, following a man around trying to get some, you know, some TMZ in on him. here's the thing. If I went and did hot yoga today, I'm 40 years young. Don't let this baby face fool you, all right? If I went and tried to do hot yoga today, guys, y'all be scraping me off the ground now. You hear me?
Yeah.
Like, y'all be like, Ben, are you okay? No. You know, I think like I'm going to see my maker. Praise be to God from whom all blessings flow. Let me roll. You know, I'd rather do that than burn to death doing hot yoga. So if y'all come in here trying to figure that part of it out, best of luck to you, because your boy Ben can't help you on that one.
That's right. Well, hey, man, I appreciate the recommendations and I'll connect with you when I get up there, brother.
Absolutely. I'd be disappointed if you didn't. You know, like that's the thing. Hospitality is a big reason why Ole Miss is what it is. And even though Florida fans have kind of showed their ass a little bit all over the internet these last couple months.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. Here we go.
Here we go.
They can like they will be welcomed with open arms. You know, come have a drink at Funky's. Come talk to your friendly neighborhood Ginger Shrek if you see him, and we'll have a good time. Yeah, you're welcome in Oxford, Mississippi, man. This is the place that greets everybody.
That's awesome. I appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, Zach has got to run. Ben, you got a few minutes for us, right?
Of course.
All right, so let's talk what we're both hearing about this Florida coaching search and the Lane Kiffin situation. First of all, I want to ask you something. Now that NFL jobs are starting to open up, let's just get this part out of the way right now. Do you think, and we've had people nationally say they think that he would consider going back to the NFL? You cover this guy every day. You've covered him for a few years now, several years, in fact. Do you think he would actually consider going back to the NFL, or do you think he's a college football guy? What's your take on that? There's no wrong answer, just your thoughts.
I think he would, but not right now. And if you made me guess, like the Giants, the Dolphins, potentially any of those, like I don't think right now the timing is for him. I think that's something that later on down the line he would entertain, but for now it's the college life for him. So if you're looking at what Lane Kiffin's going to do right now or do next, it's either the Ole Miss extension or Florida. LSU is going to keep coming after him. You know, I don't think Auburn's in play at all here, but as far as the NFL, yeah, I just don't see that this year, but it is something that he's considered and talked about, or at least, you know, weighed amongst his circle of people before. I just think that he's kind of uniquely positioned himself in this world of college football to really, you know, get everything he's ever wanted out of it. You know, all he's ever really wanted was to cement his own legacy. He's always tried to jump steps or skip steps to do it. Maybe got out ahead of his skis sometimes, but now he's in a place where, yeah, there, like he is the center of attention in all the right ways, the way he always really wanted to be. And I think the college game is home for him. But as with anything in Lane Kiffin's world, that could change tomorrow. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that could absolutely change tomorrow. Shoot, I could be saying all that. And then, you know, by Friday morning, the man's doing an introductory press conference with Joe Schoen and those dudes at the New York Giants. But I don't think so. I don't think that that's really a part of the calculus right now. I think it's really the Ole Miss extension that's been on his desk for weeks. Florida is far and away, in my opinion, the biggest threat for him. And a little bit of LSU too, but like they're just an absolute mess. But okay. I don't think the NFL piece is something I'm particularly paying attention to.
Okay, so why do you think, you've covered this guy a long time, you know the situation, why do you think Florida has emerged as the one entity that maybe could get him out of Ole Miss? What is it about Florida from your point of view?
The same thing from your point of view. Everyone knows what the connective tissue is for Florida and Lane Kiffin, right? I mean, his ex-wife is the daughter of a Gator legend. I mean, Florida, the state, not necessarily the school, has always kind of been like the spirit home for him in a way. You know, Boco helped him turn his life around, not just as a coach, but also as a person. He started to find out what the things that he should really pour into. And I think just Florida as a state means a lot to him, and there's a lot of connectors outside of that, you know, not just his family and his ex-wife and all that kind of stuff. There's other pieces to it as well. But, you know, I think that Ole Miss fans have always known that Lane Kiffin, I mean, this is the Lane Kiffin tax that you have to pay. Every single year they've dealt with this. Every single year there's been a pull from somebody tempting Lane Kiffin. Auburn was the one that got the most serious. I think Florida, because of some of those unique connectors and because of where he is as far as his career and his stature within this sport and within this culture, Florida, because of the other stuff that was already a threat to begin with, makes it that much more appealing for him, even more so than even in Auburn. That's why I've been saying, hey, look, I don't know what he's going to do. Here's the harsh reality, folks. None of us know what he's going to do. None of us, Keith, me, anybody, none of us know what he's going to do. But for my best, from everyone I talk to, however you value that, which if you don't value it at all, more power to you. But for those that do, everything I'm hearing, man, is it's either going to be the Ole Miss extension or he's going to go to Florida. And, you know, for me, I've been saying it's nothing better than a coin flip consistently for a week, 2 weeks. I don't know, man. All the days run together. You know this. But More and more, I was feeling as if, yeah, while a coin flip ultimately with the timeline and the college football playoff coming up and how that's going to affect these kind of timelines and the portal opened up in January, as long as Ole Miss kept winning, I really believe it was going to be pretty much impossible for him to not sign the extension ultimately. And I know he has a real pull to stay here. That's not the issue. It's not like, oh, I want Florida over Ole Miss. It's just the uniqueness of the opportunity. And you're talking about a nomadic person who didn't learn to stop moving and be where his feet are until Ole Miss, right? Like, Ole Miss is far and away the place he stayed at the absolute longest. And he's like, I could go through all the stuff that you already know about the family here, about the unique autonomy that he is allowed at Ole Miss that he wouldn't get at Florida or LSU. You can say he would, but he wouldn't. Y'all have to come see it. Maybe some of y'all will come into town and see for yourself. Like, the entire operation belongs to him, and there's nothing that Ole Miss won't give him. There's only a few chefs in the kitchen. While at Florida, you know, it's a circus of chefs in the kitchen. But I've been consistent saying that I think it's a coin flip, Ole Miss or Florida, and that ultimately he'll sign the Ole Miss extension. Now, I don't know. I think it's more of a coin flip than it's ever been before. And quite frankly, I was asked today on my website, the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, at a foot of on 3. Sign up today for just $1, Florida fan, if you want to see every single day what we talk
about. Get that plug in, brother.
Get that plug in, bro. I'm a pro's pro. Like, he is operating, in my opinion. This isn't based on what I mean, but I've talked to a lot of people, and this is all I get asked about all day, every day, both in an official capacity, unofficial capacity, going to church, you know, going down the road to get something to eat. And I honestly believe he's operating like a man who's setting himself up to leave. That's what it feels like right now, because he could end this at any point. He could have ended at any point before this really got more and more serious. And he's intentionally decided not to. Hey, that's his prerogative. So be it. For Ole Miss, they just are going to need some type of finality in a considered amount of time, because, man, you're not going to want Lane Kiffin coaching in the playoffs if he's going to Florida. You're not going to – I mean, you want to be able to talk to a huge candidate pool rather than be relegated because of the timeline and the schedule of college football with the portal and whatever it might be, to just promotion of in-house candidates. Like, something that's been – I've seen all over Florida boards that's incorrect. Ole Miss isn't thinking, oh, Lane Leave will just promote Pete Golding. That's not correct. Now, Pete would be in the consideration of that. But Ole Miss wants to talk to John Sumrall, who has expressed through back channels interest in Ole Miss, right? Like, this is a guy that coached at Ole Miss before that quite literally copied Lane's organizational structure at the G6 level at Tulane. He'll admit it, and he'll tell you that. Ole Miss wants to talk to him. Of course they do. Alex Golish, who they think very highly of. Even if they wanted to take big swings, even if they might be unrealistic, like, I think Cliff Kingsbury is barreling towards becoming an NFL head coach again sooner rather than later. But if you're LSU, if you're Ole Miss, and with its infrastructure in place, and you want to stay in the same vein as a Lane, like Cliff Kingsbury, of course you want to talk to him. Maybe he just straight up tells you no. You want the opportunity to talk to him, right? Yeah. Yeah. But while Florida is only worried about Lane Kiffin right now, everybody, fans, administrators, all this kind of stuff, Ole Miss is worried about winning a national championship. It's first since the 60s, right? It's worried about getting the college football playoff. And yet, because of this intentional decision by Lane Kiffin to not really address it in a meaningful way, to intentionally leave it open-ended, I thought he was the most honest he's been on Monday when he said, I'm not quite there yet. Thank you. Means you're actually making a decision that you – But, like, you got Dan Lanning coming out saying, I'm sticking around. You got Kurt Cignetti. Brent Key says, slice me open, for goodness sake, Keith. And all you get from Lane is, I got Oxford needed. I needed Oxford more than Oxford needed me. That's all fine and good. And, look, they're going to celebrate you regardless. But as far as the business of doing football and accomplishing the thing that really matters here, and that's for Ole Miss, is winning a national championship, buddy, you got to make a decision sooner rather than later, because – they don't want to be limited to just their in-house pool. So that's a long-winded way of addressing all of it and saying simply, I'm still feeling the same way based on everything I know, whatever that is to you. It's going to be the Ole Miss extension or Florida. But right now, I feel it's more of a coin flip than it's ever been before, and he's operating like a man who's preparing his current school to move. That's up for him to – like. And I'm not saying he's moving. I'm just saying the operation – looks that way.
That was such a long answer. I was able to go squeeze in 9 holes, so that worked out.
I'm sorry.
I love the detail.
I've been asked about this Good. Over and over and over.
Nah, man. Love the detail. Love the enthusiasm and the answers, too. So, okay. So, Ole Miss's angle is basically not angle, but look, you're happy here. You've got this, you know, you run the program. There's still great pressure to win, but maybe, how do we say this? You and I have talked about this before. If you go 8-5, people aren't throwing eggs at your front door.
Oh,
right?
Now they are. Now they are.
Oh, now they are.
8-5, it wouldn't be acceptable at all.
So he's risen. Their expectations have risen so much with him being there.
I mean, my gosh, dude, we're talking about like Ole Miss is close. We're talking about almost a decade in now. Like, yeah, it's only six, but like you're closer to a decade in than you are him just getting here. And when he got here, like it's like people forgot that Ole Miss figured out how to win by doing the same things everybody else was doing. But of course, because little Ole Miss, they got punished for it. Like Hugh Freeze set the blueprint. You can win here. Chris Kiffin, who was on Hugh Freeze's staff, when you know he told Lane straight up, like when he was considering going from to Ole Miss or Arkansas after the jump from FAU, he was like, "Man, yeah, you can live here, Chris. I mean, you can live here. You can win here. You can absolutely win at Ole Miss. Look what we did. It wasn't that long ago. It was only a decade since 2016, and now he's been at Ole Miss longer, like almost a full decade, 6 out of 10 years, whatever, a little over half a decade." And since that time, Ole Miss is number 3 in the SEC in overall wins behind only Alabama and Georgia. It's not a fluke anymore. You're absolutely right. Lane Kiffin deserves all kinds of credit for that, and the vast majority of the credit for that. But that would be shortchanging people who have put their absolute blood, sweat, and tears into this. Like, true livelihoods were put into making Ole Miss football now that everybody's on the same level playing field, right? Putting them in that conversation every single year. You're shortchanging Walker Jones, the Grove Collective, the mom and pops. Like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know all the towns around Gainesville, but I find it really hard to believe that every third grade teacher from Amory to Pontotoc to Clarksdale that loves the Rebels is given a little $10 of their only pathetic paycheck when they should be getting paid more are teachers. You get what I'm saying? Like, you're shortchanging what the Ole Miss community did to rally around him and give him everything he could possibly need, and still will. If he leaves Ole Miss, it will not be because of anything Ole Miss didn't offer him or wasn't willing to give him. There used to be battles over facilities. There used to be battles over the friggin' amount of hamburgers kids got to eat on the bus ride down to LSU. Now you don't even bus to LSU, you can eat as much Chick-fil-A as you want to. Like, Ole Miss is a different program now. So I would the one thing I would request of Florida people is, like, listen, no one is arguing that historically Florida is a better program than Ole Miss. Of course it is. That is not what we're arguing. What we are telling you, though, is in the year of our Lord 2025, you are a lot further away from when you mattered to – and Ole Miss, meanwhile, has – become a program that honestly a lot of people have tried to figure out their formula, and they can't, and they haven't been able to. Maybe, just maybe, celebrate that Ole Miss has done this and really stepped up and put on its big boy pants and acted like it should have been acting for years and years and years. Then, of course they'd leave Ole Miss for Florida. It's old piss. You're not seeing the evidence in front of your face, and also it's a regressive mindset that's going to bite you in the ass. Because, buddy, those expectations aren't real anymore. You cannot expect to win a championship every other year. You have to accept that you are on the playing level of Ole Miss's now, because everybody's on the same playing field. Parity reigns. No one's arguing that you're better historically, Keith. What they are arguing is Ole Miss is better than you operationally right now. You're just wanting to steal it, which is fine. Go for it. That's business.
I guess the question, so what the Florida people would say is that, okay, so yes, Ole Miss may be better operational. Not maybe, obviously, are the winning record is a proof of that. But is that because of the system you say that's built in, or is it because of Lane Kiffin?
I just said that.
I know, but I'm telling you.
The majority goes to Lane, but also that is shortchanging so many people, including an administration that is walking in lockstep, something that has also not been the case at Ole Miss since the 90s, if not the 80s.
Yeah.
Okay. Like Keith Carter and Glenn Boyce, man, you talk about hitting home runs. And when both of those hires were made, they weren't particularly like loved, Keith. They weren't. They're like, well, Keith was the easy hire, good old boy hire. Glenn Boyce, he was a part of the selection committee and he picked himself. And guess what? they were perfect hires for what Ole Miss needed, especially in this culture when you only have to be the very best version of yourself. And Ole Miss right now is the very best version of itself, while Florida is still going, hey, remember Tebow?
Ben, you got hot at me, man.
No, not at all. I love I'm messing you, with you.
I'm messing with you. I think the Florida fans are probably going to get mad at me for not fighting back, but that's not what we're here for. We're
Florida
here
to fans, you're awesome. That's not what I'm saying.
We're here to interview you.
I'm a loud talker, Keith.
No, man, you're good. So, no.
Cartoon character. I am not. I think, like, here's the thing. I'm telling you the truth. I believe that Lane Kiffin is right now operating like a guy who's on the move. And if he is on the move, Ben, where would you think he would go? Florida.
Yeah,
I'm giving you what you want, but
no. That's not what I was saying. I'm kind of giving you a hard time, but
and Ole Miss is like you should just give Ole Miss some more credit than you are. Just go, hey man, good for them, dude. Like they're coming there instead of going, oh well, of course. Like it's this dismissiveness that's led you making your fifth hire in 10 years or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's just fans in general though, and I think that everybody's going to kind of trump for their own team. That's just the way it's going to go. Okay, so Ole Miss has got this big game this weekend, and we both think that they're probably Let's get back to that. We both think that Ole Miss is probably. Listen, I let you talk, but we both think that Ole Miss is probably a couple touchdowns better. The Florida team that played last week, Ben, it's a real concern because they were there wasn't anything to hang their hat on last week. The effort didn't look like it was great. The execution was horrible. It was the worst loss to Kentucky since 1950. So even if they get that emotion and energy and effort and all that stuff back, it still seems like an uphill battle. They don't play well on the road. Ole Miss plays exceptionally well at home outside of that game against Kentucky last year. It just doesn't look like a great matchup. However, Ole Miss run defense isn't great. Now, Florida's rush offense outside of Jaden Ball isn't very good at all either. So we don't know. But if there are anything, what would Ole Miss be most concerned about in this particular game? Is it more of they got to be worried about themselves because of the pressure, the lights are on. You can't screw this up now. You're so close. Is that the bigger concern or is it the Florida talent, which quite frankly, you know, that game last week, Ben, left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. So what's the biggest concern?
I could understand why. Hey, a little shared misery, right? Like Kentucky ruined Ole Miss's life for like a year, dude. So like I completely understand that from Florida fans' perspective. They respect the hell out of what Florida could be. And I think that's why Florida fans are so bullish on their program being able to like bounce back really soon. Like Jaden Bob, man, everybody would take him. I mean, to me, he's one of the very best running backs in the SEC. And if he's in the SEC, it's in the nation. So I think the world of him. DJ Lagway was a 5-star and Parade All-American, and he's actually shown at times to be somebody you can build around. The problem is that the infrastructure around him has been absolutely disastrous, and he is folded. You know, like you hate to see that that's happened, but like he's fallen victim to a lot of that himself, you know? So like, the defense has got quality players on it, and they've shown the propensity to be pretty strong. I mean, they led Georgia into the fourth quarter 2 weeks ago. So this is a team in a world, and it goes back to the point I was making, talking about the Florida Ole Miss and like, why would he stay at Ole Miss when he can come to Big Bad Florida? Ole Miss, like their 1-0 mindset is what has been their biggest feather in their cap and how they've handled this year. Because it is absolutely true. It doesn't matter if it's Washington State, but it could be Florida, especially Florida, because look at it's DJ Lagway. He's got a 5-star Parade All-American. Jaden Ball, one of the best running backs in the SEC. A defense littered with legitimate talent. Now, where Florida's really at a disadvantage is there's so many guys that could be out. I mean, losing Eugene Wilson, Dallas Wilson, I mean, name the guys. That will hurt them, especially against an Ole Miss team that's playing so particularly well. But in this world in college football in 2025, yes, Florida, even with 3 wins, they led Georgia in the fourth quarter 2 weeks ago. They can come in here and do that to you. Absolutely they can. Will they? Probably not, especially as it spirals under interim head coach Billy Gonzalez. But as of right this minute, like, I certainly – Ole Miss isn't taking them lightly. I can promise you that. I mean, they understand fully what this team could do because parity reigns, guys. Yeah. In 2025, it's why an Ole Miss can, ascend in this culture rather than the old days where you could only get to a certain point and then everybody else said, no, you belong in this place. That doesn't matter anymore.
Well, we spent a lot of time talking about structurally how solid Ole Miss is right now. Well, now I've got to say that Florida, when you look at Florida, you look at the record, and just as you look at the Florida message boards, Ben, we look at the Ole Miss message boards, and there's a lot of misconceptions out there too. It is absolute bullshit to say that Florida's NIL is a mess. That is incorrect. Just because I'm not saying you did. I'm not saying you did.
You're right. Out there. Yeah, I've seen that too, and I'm legitimately curious as we're talking about it. Like, what is their NIL situation? I don't know.
Well, first of all, the first thing that people need to know about the University of Florida is there's over 500,000 living alums. That is a huge number that is yet to truly be tapped into for the simple reason. Sometimes the wins have to come first, right? And there's been so much losing lately that I think there's a little bit of a mindset that they need to see something. But the money's been there. Now, the roster numbers, what Florida spent on the roster this year, I believe is lower than what Ole Miss spent. But that doesn't necessarily mean the money wasn't there to spend more. You spend it on what you want to spend it on. Florida's infrastructure, this administration at Florida had given Billy Napier every single thing he asked for. He had one of the largest staffs in the country. Huge personnel department. Florida has GM structure now. Now, we don't know in which direction they're going to go in. Are they going to keep what people are they going to keep in? We don't know. Could it be a more of an NFL type system? Could it be more of the head coach brings his own guy? That remains to be seen. Obviously, Lane Kiffin would want to bring his own people. You maybe give him a lot more flexibility than you might give a John Sumrall or an Eli Drinkwitz or somebody like that. But again, you've got the recruiting base still matters, regardless of what people think. There's too many coaches out there that say, yes, it's the NIL world. We get that. But it's still much easier to get somebody to your school. If all things are equal, much easier to get somebody from your school from Orlando to Gainesville than Orlando to Memphis or Orlando to Chapel Hill or whatnot. So there's still a lot of good things. I mean, there's still, if you talk to coaches out there, by and large, they're still going to tell you Florida is an elite job, even though the performance level hasn't been elite. It's a difficult place to play, but Florida loses games close, Ben. If they were 6-3 right now instead of 3-6, guess what? They'd still be doing the same things. They haven't won, most Florida fans would tell you, because of what they've done on Saturdays, not what they've done on Sunday through Friday. Now, we'll see. Next coach is going to have a lot of things in their corner. You know, when you hire somebody new, regardless of who it is, a fan base will make that person seem like the next Vince Lombardi. But they believe that the facilities, and you say facilities aren't as important anymore, and that may be true, but you can't have decrepit facilities. So they believe the facilities are among the best in the country, just as Ole Miss believes the same thing. Ben, I've been to Oxford many times. You know I love the facilities there, the indoor facility at Ole Miss. They believe their NIL structure is incredibly solid. The high donors are all aboard the train. Now, I know people are saying, do you mean Lane train? No, I'm saying they're all aboard the train. The money was there for Billy Napier and company. They just weren't able to win on Saturdays. I mean, sometimes you're just not able to win, you know. But
sometimes the coach is really – it's not working. And that's what like Billy Napier – Florida, there's no doubt Florida has got the the pool, all the infrastructure stuff in place. I agree with you. I was curious about the NIL because I've seen that criticism too. And I'm like, I don't know that.
I think that they got a late start, Ben. So some of the criticism is warranted. There's no doubt about it. I think they got a little bit of a late start.
Look bad, you know, and I get that, but I don't presume to know. I cover Ole Miss, you know, sometimes it's just coaching fit, but I will say, there is something to there that what is the deal culturally to be making so many hires in such a truncated amount of time, because then it seems more like, then why are you keeping Scott Strickland to make another hire, right? What if Lane doesn't work? What if Lane isn't winning at the clip? Like Dan Mullen won at 9 wins apace. Like I think Dan Mullen would be a great hire for a lot of guys, a lot of schools. LSU would do well to hire Dan Mullen. And in this culture, when it's just about the professional structure, the pro mindset structure, man, I think Dan Mullen would kill it, right? But it wasn't enough for Florida. So culturally, it's this idea that we have to win 10 or be a championship team every other year. If not, it's not enough. No one is going to do that anymore. There's never going to be an
exception.
You know,
unless you're
changing your expectations in that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And what I would say though, and I'm not comparing Florida to Alabama or Florida to Notre Dame or Florida to USC historically, Like you said Florida historically is better than Ole Miss, but in those programs, But Billy Napier went 22-23. Does that fly at Miami? Does that fly at Notre Dame? Does that fly at Southern Cal? Does that fly at Ole Miss?
Not anymore. You're damn right. And that's what I agree. So, because like it's not like they were absolutely justified even after he beat State to move on from Billy Napier. Honestly, they should have moved on from him last year. Like I think that everyone was like, okay, we tried to do right by him. Like, but you know, Florida's gonna hire a good coach. I would implore Ole Miss fans. I mean, Florida fans. I'm so used to talking to Ole Miss fans. I would implore Florida fans to exhibit more patience with whoever it is. If it's Lane, I don't even know who's the number two right now as far as who they're pursuing. I don't think Keith does either. We both probably hear some similar names.
Yeah.
Like Ed Fish would be a good hire. He's a former Florida guy, but like, you know, can you sell that to the fan base? Does it matter if you win the press conference? I don't think so, but maybe you still value that. At the end of the day, Florida's going to hire a good coach, and they're going to – I mean, Billy Napier, it was time. It was past time. I would just implore you, Florida fan, to have more patience with whoever it is. And also, with whoever it is, understand that Ole Miss isn't little Ole Miss anymore. And that's a credit to them and not a knock on you. It's just like Ole Miss fans wanted to be at the table too. That's all it's ever wanted. And now it is. And that's where this isn't even a debate, right? I mean, this used to not even be a debate. Hugh Freeze considered leaving and going to Florida. He was really close, all right? He didn't because he was like, this is Ole Miss. It's the Hugh Freeze deal. You know Freeze. You know what I mean? He's like, I can, you know. And so he stayed. This isn't new, but now the fact that this isn't even – I mean, this is an actual coin flip is a testament to Ole Miss and what it's done, right? And it's not a knock on Florida. It wasn't even a thought in the old days, bro. It really wasn't. The only reason Freeze stayed is because he was an Ole Miss guy from Independence, Mississippi. He's like, I can't let my people down. He's like, but Florida, you know? I understand that. Like, I would completely get that. The question that really are the considerations, not the money and stuff, because Ole Miss will pay the average annual value, $13.5 million. They've already got the one of the highest assistant pools in the SEC. Pete Golding is the number one highest paid assistant in the SEC. He's got a contract completely independent of Lane, actually. It was like uniquely negotiated with the university to where if Lane leaves, Pete's still here, right? And earlier in the year, I heard that Lane had talked about, well, what if we did move? Would you go with me, Pete? And he was like, nope, because of a number of reasons. It's not just football. He loves Lane. He loves coaching for him. But Pete's here for a lot of reasons. All of those things, Ole Miss would match that. So if he leaves, it's not because of anything Ole Miss didn't do. It's not because Big Bag of Florida came and stole little Ole Miss's coach again. It's because Lane Kiffin made an individual decision. The considerations for him are, do you want to go be the next guy at Florida or continue legend status at Ole Miss? And I think right now the allure of Florida is the most appealing, like is really appealing to him. And really the pride, like I'm not even thinking about LSU right now. And that is crazy. You know what I mean? That is crazy. But Florida is uniquely, has always been uniquely positioned, Keith, to tempt Lane Kiffin. They could have come after him years ago, and they went with Billy Napier. They didn't engage with him.
Historically, Florida has always gotten, almost always, with one or two exceptions dating back to 1960, its first or second choice. Now, you could say, well, Billy Napier was their first choice, so they didn't set the bar that high, obviously.
Did any schools ever not hire their first choice?
No. I mean, when you not the first person offered. I mean, literally, when you go back and look, like Charlie Pell, who was hired in 1979, was not necessarily the first choice. But Steve Spurrier, we know, was. Urban Meyer, we know, was. Billy Napier, we know, was. And Napier also had a chance. He turned down the job at Auburn. I think he had a chance to go to South Carolina as well. But one thing I would say is
State as well.
Well, one thing I would say is it's interesting because, you know, Big Bad Florida, when people talk about Big Bad Florida, they always, and you just asked yourself too, what about financially? Do they have the NIL? Do they have all this stuff? And you mentioned Ole Miss's pay pool for its assistants. I don't think Lane Kiffin, knowing how cerebral he is and knowing how much of a guy he is that puts thought into this stuff, would even be remotely considering Florida if he didn't have assurances. One, not only the pay pool for his staff, but what is the NIL situation? So clearly the fact he's even considering that job tells you all you need to know about that. So me, and I've always thought this, Ben, we agree. Look, we disagree on certain things, but we agree on this. We're both loud guys, but we agree on this. It really is going to come down to where he just wants to live. 100%. And that's okay.
It's very simple, dude. It really is. Like, absolutely. Here's the thing. Me and Keith really agree. We're just the same person. We both talk a lot. And we interrupt a lot. And we're very all the time. Here's the very true thing of, like, I love Keith Niebuhr. I can tell you stories that he doesn't even remember. I think the world of him. He, like, quite literally helped show me just through his good quality work how to be a recruiting reporter. And that stuff doesn't even really matter anymore. So, like, talking to Keith is like it's a beautiful thing. I've known him for a very long time, even though it hadn't been like that really till this Florida Ole Miss stuff and we had to talk.
We reconnected.
God, it's so funny how the world works, man. Like, but Keith, I think the world of him. It's quite literally simple. This simple, guys. Lane Kiffin doesn't know whether he wants to stay at Ole Miss or go to Florida. No one knows what he wants to do. Of course they don't. He could do either, and either would give him everything he wanted. He just doesn't know right now. And that was the most honest thing. And until he does, this is all just whatever this was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was the most honest he was on Monday when he said, and I quote, "I'm not there yet. Thank you for letting us know." At least now, like, Ole Miss can say, okay. You know, you don't have to worry in those administration offices. You go, all right, fine, yeah. We've already got the list. We've got the vetted candidate. Like, let's talk to the search firm we've got on retainer to see about so-and-so. Back channel these people. But Ole Miss just wants to be able to continue to operate at this high-functioning level that it has, because Lane Kiffin built out the apparatus and saved Ole Miss from itself in a lot of ways and now has helped show the way. But Ole Miss, in a lot of its areas, specifically the Grove Collective and the NIL piece, has moved past him as far as structurally and how they're organized. They don't need Lane Kiffin to raise money. Losing Lane Kiffin, man, it's gonna, like, they're going to take a dip in raising money. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is how they spend it. Ole Miss is like the Tampa Bay Rays of the SEC, all right? The Tampa Bay Rays are always competitive, always right there for the World Series, even though they've got one of the lowest payrolls in Major League Baseball. What is Florida? They're not the Yankees. If Alabama's the Yankees, what is Florida? Are they the Cubs? No, they're better than the Cubs. I don't know. Pick your team, right? Yes, those, they have more money. And they have more resources and stuff. But what has separated the Tampa Bay Rays and allowed them to hang with their contemporaries that would otherwise drown them in their, quote, bigger resources is they're better and more efficient at what they do. Their analytics department, their forward leading, their forward thinking, and how they organize and structure is better than most everybody else. And it's unique to their particular school. That doesn't go away if Lane Kiffin goes away. And that's a big like, Ole Miss wouldn't have gotten that kind of, they wouldn't have gotten that organized if not for Lane Kiffin. It was the absolute best hire they could have possibly made. It has taken them to a competitive place where now they know how to operate along with you and call you Florida contemporary rather than, I hope big bad Florida doesn't come calling.
It was a great move for both of them. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Hey, last thing, Ben, before we let you go, just in a nutshell, Knox Kiffin, class of 2028 quarterback, he's the starting quarterback at Oxford High School.
Yeah.
Good young player. You've seen him compete. What do you think?
I produced a podcast for him. It's like, you know, it's bizarre. But I'm very, like, he's a good kid. He's a Lane clone. You know, like, he is an absolute mini Lane. Legitimate prospect. Got to do some growing and stuff. I don't like that our buddy Adam Gorney asked him about this stuff, the Lane stuff. I think that's what we do now, Keith, is a lot different than it used to be, is all I'm going to say. But as a recruit, yeah, man, he's got some juice. And he's throwing to Kevin Smith Jr., another Florida well, his father was a legend from Florida, the state of Florida, coached at the U, went back from Ole Miss to the U, two back to Ole Miss, and now his son is catching 3 or 4 tutties from one Knox mini clone Lane Kiffin in the Little Egg Bowl last week. Yeah, it's really cool to see, man, and you know, to see that family grow and how they've kind of come together and reconnected in a way. And Knox has said this to me before, you know, like, his family's never been like this ever in his life. He's never had it like this. And this, like, they're acting and serving as a family, and they've found that family structure. They just rediscovered each other. And it's been a really cool thing to see just from a human being point of view. And I'm thrilled for the Kiffin family, regardless. That's of right. What happens with this stuff, because, man, we all thought one way about Lane Kiffin before Ole Miss. And then he came to Ole Miss. And at the start, it was about the same. But then he found, he'll tell you all the stuff. I don't have to recap it.
Yeah.
And he is a different person now. and his family. They're a different family construct now. Praise be to God from whom all blessings flow. It's been amazing to see that. And Ole Miss will always root for Lane Kiffin, whether he stays or he goes. The only hope right now is let them know something in a considered amount of time so they don't just have to promote from in-house, you know?
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, Ben Garrett of Ole Miss Spirit. That's Ole Miss's On3 site, part of the On3 network. They do a hell of a job. You're going to want to stay in tune with everything they've got. Look, we've got a lot of coaching info every day. And by the way, so do these guys. They're plugged in Oxford better than anyone. Ben Garrett of Ole Miss Spirit, thank you so much for joining us, man. Have a good week, and see what happens this weekend, and we'll see what happens moving forward. We got a lot to talk about, obviously. We'll touch base soon, buddy, all right?
Keep calling. I've enjoyed just like, you know, getting reconnected, but also becoming better friends, my guy. I think the world of what you do. I he's a little bit of like a big bro in this industry for me, man. Like there's a handful of them. Keith is one of them. And you keep rocking on, man, because you absolutely rule. And I guess I'll talk to you in about another 15 minutes whenever Lane says something else that we
All right, take care, buddy.
All right, buddy.
See you, Ben.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.